So if you were here last week, you know we started talking about Star Wars, the first of 3 weeks, you might say a trilogy of sermons. And we talked last week mostly when it comes to the Star Wars piece of it about the original Star Wars movie, A New Hope is the name of that one. And this week we're going to be talking some about all six Star Wars movies. I say that knowing, of course, that there's a seventh Star Wars movie, but the first six really follow one complete story arc. And the seventh one starts a whole new story arc. And so I'm going to be thinking about really those first six and not the seventh one so much. Although the seventh one is a fantastic movie, and if you haven't seen it, your life would be richer for having seen it. The climax, I'm sure that most of you have seen Star Wars, but I am surprised sometimes at the number of folks who haven't. And so part of what I'm going to do is to just go through with you a little bit of what happens in those movies, because it's important. And the climax of the original arc comes at the very end, or almost the very end of the sixth movie, Return of the Jedi. It's right before the scene where the Ewoks are banging on stormtrooper helmets' drums, and Darth Vader and Luke and the Emperor are all together. And Darth Vader, of course, at this point, Luke knows, spoiler alert, that Darth Vader's his father. And Emperor Palpatine is hanging out as well. And Luke has gone to the Death Star, the second Death Star, to confront Darth Vader and to try to turn him back to the light side and to try to change him back to the way that Luke knows once upon a time he must have been. And so he's counting on there still being some kind of good left in Darth Vader. And the Emperor is counting on Luke to actually kill Darth Vader and become the Emperor's new apprentice. And so instead of Luke being able to change Darth Vader back to the light side, Vader attacks Luke, and they have this great lightsaber battle. And eventually Luke cuts off, in a moment of rage, Luke cuts off Darth Vader's hand. It's the third time that Darth Vader's hand is cut off over the course of the six movies. George Lucas has this thing about people losing appendages. And so even though he only had two hands to begin with, his hands were indeed cut off three times. And it happens because Luke is, the Emperor is trying to change Luke over to the dark side at the same time that Luke is trying to change Darth Vader over to the light side, and Emperor Palpatine, is his name, Emperor Palpatine, almost succeeds in having Luke go over to the dark side. And that's when Luke cuts off Vader's hand, and then he has this moment where he realizes what's happening to him, and he turns off his lightsaber, he throws it down, and he refuses to go any further and to actually kill Darth Vader, to actually kill his father. So as you can imagine, the Emperor gets pretty upset about that, and so the Emperor then uses his Force Lightning, the evils of the power, and with the Force Lightning, he brings Luke Skywalker to the very brink of death. Now, if you've seen the movie, you know what happens after that, but I'm going to leave it there for right now. And I want to talk about some of the other movies first. Some of you have asked me over the last few weeks an important question. You might think it's biblical, but it's not. The question that you've asked me is, if I'm going to watch the Star Wars movies again, what order should I watch them in? And it's an important question. And the answer is the revised machete order. Yes, Star Wars fans are so fanatical that there are different theories for the order in which you should watch the movies. And one of them is the machete order. And the revised machete order would be machete because you cut them up in pieces and then you rearrange them. And so the answer is, the definitive answer is, watch episodes 4 and 5, Star Wars Return of Star Wars and the Empire Strikes Back, and then go back to the prelude movies, the prequels, and watch, in my opinion, episodes 1, 2, and 3 in that order, The Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, and Revenge of the Sith, and then watch Return of the Jedi, the movie I was just talking a little bit about. And if you watch them in that order, then here's one way that you could summarize all of those movies. Episode 4, we are introduced to Luke Skywalker, and Luke is raised by his aunt and his uncle. They're killed. they raised him like parents, and so he could have been seeking revenge at their death, but he's never really motivated by revenge. You never see revenge coming through as his motivation. Instead, he wants right to be done, and so he wants to go fight and to do what's for the good of the galaxy, to do what's right. And so he goes on an adventure, he saves a princess, then the princess saves him in return, and eventually he blows up the Death Star. And that's kind of the summary of the original Star Wars. It's his introduction to the real world, or at least as real as the Star Wars world gets. And he's escaped from the desert of Tatooine, the planet that he was born on. And then we go on to The Empire Strikes Back. And in The Empire Strikes Back, Luke is maturing as a person. So he actually skips the adventure this time and goes off on a journey of self-discovery with Yoda, the ancient Jedi master. And part of this journey involves confronting Darth Vader. So he confronts, while he's with Yoda, in a vision, he confronts Darth Vader, and he beats Vader, and he looks into Vader's mask, and he sees a reflection of his own face. He sees his own image in that shattered mask, and it's a vivid reminder that for us as generations, that who we are we can make choices about becoming who our predecessors were, about being who our parents were, or about moving on in our own directions, on our own journeys. And so that's the struggle that then Luke is faced with. And in the context of the movie, he doesn't have all of the self-discipline that he should have, and he goes off and tries to rescue his friends when they weren't rescuable by him. And so he needs to grow in his self-discipline. He makes a mistake there. But by the end of the movie, Luke confronts the real Darth Vader. He learns that Vader's his father. Vader cuts off his hand, again with the appendages being cut off, and Luke barely escapes with his life, thanks again to the princess, and Princess Leia rescues him again. And then during that fight, too, Vader tries to convince Luke that Luke should join his father, to join Vader, turning to the dark side and helping him to overthrow the Emperor, and then together they would rule the galaxy. Episode 5. Right now, following the Machete Order, we go back to the beginning with Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, and we find a young Anakin Skywalker. Anakin Skywalker would become Darth Vader, but we find him in Episode 1 as this young boy. He's an exceptional pilot. He has amazing insights. He's got great perception of the world around him. The story goes that he was conceived through the Force, mirroring the birth of Jesus, that he could be the fulfillment of a great prophecy. He has absolutely everything going for him. And you kind of like this little kid that you find in Episode 1. And you would imagine to yourself, could such a child as this ever become somebody like Darth Vader? You know, and whenever you see a kid, most children are children that we love, right? They're adorable. We love kids. And almost all the kids turn out to be great. But sometimes you have one that turns out to not be so good as an adult. And so it's amazing. It's interesting to see if it were in real life, it'd be interesting to see how Darth Vader, the person who was so reviled across the galaxy, would have begun as this young child. He goes on into Episode 2 and becomes an older teenager, and he's transformed as children are transformed. From this child to this teenager, but this is like the teenager that you would not want your child to ever be. He's arrogant. He puts down his mentor in Obi-Wan Kenobi. He's confident that he could rule the galaxy better than a democratic government could. He's still good, but you can start to see him taking these steps towards the dark side. And in most moments in that movie, when he has a chance to make a choice between something that's really going to be definitively good or something that's kind of borderline, you see him making choices that start to move the wrong direction. And then when we go on to Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, we see that throughout the movie, Anakin continues to take steps towards the dark side. He ruthlessly kills Count Dooku, who clearly was evil, but it's the ruthlessness in which he kills him. He had already cut off his hands. Did I mention the thing about the appendages? He'd cut off his hands. And then he still kills him after that, when he was completely defenseless. And he goes on down this downward path until finally Anakin saves the emperor from arrest or from death, accidentally kills his own wife, Padme, and attacks his best friend and mentor, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Obi-Wan Kenobi is forced to fight back, and you know what happens when Obi-Wan Kenobi fights back against Anakin. He cuts off his hand, as well as both of his legs, in this case. And by the time that Emperor Palpatine comes and finds Anakin and puts him in the Darth Vader garb and makes him Darth Vader, Anakin's already become Darth Vader. He doesn't have the costume and the weird breathing, but he's already become Darth Vader. He's already become this evil persona. He's already lost his soul. And now, following that machete order, we come all the way back to Return of the Jedi again, to the climax of the entire 6-movie series. Luke Skywalker is being killed by Emperor Palpatine while Darth Vader watches from the side. And all through the movie series, we can think back now to how this boy, Anakin Skywalker, became Darth Vader, taking step by step in the wrong direction. It didn't happen all at once. It was step by step, making the choices that he made. He didn't become evil all at once. It was a decision here and a decision there that led him down this path. Same path that Luke Skywalker could have gone down if he wanted to, as we were reminded in The Empire Strikes Back when he saw his own image in Darth Vader's shattered mask. Luke had multiple moments when he could have made choices for good and choices for bad, and sometimes he made the bad choices, but more often than not, he made the good choices. And so we come to this final battle with Luke embodying good and Vader and the Emperor embodying evil. And we await to see what the outcome of the fight between, ultimate fight between good and evil is going to be. You know who else had a chance to embody evil? Peter. Peter. I'm back in the Bible now, by the way. Peter is not a Star Wars character. Okay. We read through the Gospels, and as we read through the Gospels, Peter is one of the most interesting characters that we find. The ebb and flow of Peter's story is remarkable. Peter is one of the first disciples that Jesus calls. And also, after Judas, Peter is the first disciple to betray Jesus. Isn't that interesting? The last conversation in John's Gospel that Peter has with Jesus prior to today's scripture reading is when Peter, in the Garden of Gethsemane, cuts off somebody's ear, not hand, cuts off somebody's ear, and Jesus says, "What'd you go and do that for?" And Jesus puts the ear back on and scolds Peter for drawing his weapon. Peter is the first disciple to confess Jesus as Messiah, to say that Jesus is the Savior. Right after that, Jesus says to Peter, "You will be the rock upon which the church is built." And then 4 verses later, Jesus says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan," because of Peter's brashness. Peter's relationship with Jesus was rocky, to say the least. And that's part of what makes the scene here at the end, at the climax in some ways of the Gospel of John, for when you think about the church, the very end of the Gospel of John, just like we were at the end of the Star Wars trilogy or the six movies. The last time in John's Gospel that Peter spoke with Jesus before this incident, Jesus had to rebuke Peter. And now, at the very end of the Gospel, Jesus and Peter have one more moment together, one intimate moment. And so Jesus takes Peter aside and basically says to him, "So Peter, which Peter are you going to be? Which Peter are you going to be? Are you going to be the Peter that cuts off people's ears and that betrays? Or are you going to be the Peter that feeds sheep, that does good, that does what's right?" If they'd seen the Star Wars movie, he might have been saying, "Are you going to be like the Vader character, or are you going to be like Luke? What's it going to be?" Remember, Anakin was born through the Force. He was called in the early movies the Chosen One, who in Star Wars mythology was supposed to bring balance to the Force. But he didn't. He failed in that. He became evil. And so the next generation, represented by Luke, had to go back and try to fix what Anakin had messed up. And so at that climactic moment in Return of the Jedi, Darth Vader, formerly Anakin, now has to choose. Again, he's made all of these choices that have all led to the point where he is. We're going to talk more about that next week and how at this point he's more machine than he is human. And now at this point, he has to choose again. He looks at the Emperor. He looks at Luke. The Emperor is literally killing Luke and is ready for the final blow. And he looks back at the Emperor again. And he looks back at Luke again. And then, you remember the movie? He looks back at the Emperor again and picks the Emperor up and throws him over the bridge and saves Luke's life. He's made so many bad choices over 30 years, but in the context of the movie, he chooses now, after 30 years, to finally make a choice that saves his son, that saves not just his son, but really saves himself, that redeems himself from the choices that he'd previously made. It is, in a way, it's like Peter. Peter made some really bad choices. Peter made some really bad choices. But he had a chance now as he visited with Jesus again after the resurrection, when it seemed like it was too late. When a person dies, you don't have a chance to talk with them again. Peter had that chance with Jesus. When it seemed like it was too late, Peter still had one more chance, and he visited with Jesus with a chance now to fix the mistakes that he'd made, and he became a rock for the church. He became, in the Catholic tradition, the first pope, the first bishop of Rome, and the first pope. And he is then in that way like you and me. We get to make these choices too, right? We get to make our choices day by day. Day by day. Every day. Choices for good and choices for evil. When we have folks join at St. Paul's by profession of faith or by transfer from another denomination, one of the questions we ask them, which is part of the United Methodist tradition, is, do you believe that there's such a thing as evil in this world? And will you do what you can, by the grace of God, to resist evil and injustice in the world around us? In other words, will you make the choices with God's grace, because we all need God's grace. We're all going to mess up sometimes. But will you make choices as best as you can with God's grace that are for good, that are for justice, that are for righteousness, instead of choices that are for evil or that are for injustice, that are wrong? That's part of the commitment that we make, because we believe those things exist. And we each, every day, we get to make those choices. Are we going to be more like Vader? Or are we going to be more like Luke? Are we going to be more like Peter, who gets chastised by Jesus, or more like Peter, who's going to feed sheep? And like Darth Vader, like Peter, there are implications for the choices that we make. There is damage that is done, but there's always, always another chance for us to choose light. God gives us the opportunity each day, and even at the end of our lives, to choose light, to choose the good. I invite you to make that choice.